Welcome back to WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We're in our third segment. I'm getting chippy. I'm giving Don Moeller a hard time. Don's not going to have
new.
Me anymore.
Something new and different.
Kirby Fowler's here for the Downtown Partnership and soon to be, and you know, I still call it the Balmer Zoo.
I know.
But I know it's the Maryland Zoo.
In Baltimore.
In Baltimore.
Maryland Zoo in Baltimore.
And, okay, is that what we call it? It's like Oriole Park at Camden. Yeah. I just want to give you this because you're the downtown guy and I don't know you well and we've seen each other at various things. First time we've really sat down. I'm embarrassed by that, especially in my neighborhood. But the zoo, I'll give you a little story. So my wife has had two bone marrow transplants at Johns Hopkins. Mm-hmm. My wife's had leukemia twice. So in the summer of 14, she got leukemia. So an anonymous man saved her life. Again in 15, after the ride, she got leukemia again, almost died. Christmas time, man came along, saved her life again. Year later, we get to meet him, this magnanimous 21-year-old man from Germany. He's 6'6", and I know he's watching, Niels. And he's getting married on April 4th. We're flying over to Amsterdam, and we're going over to Germany for the wedding. It's going to be nice. So 2.5 years ago, he flew to America for the first time. And the night he met my wife, we exchanged bucket lists for my wife and him. Just like, what do you want to do? You know, he's an interesting guy. Saved her life. This is a special person, right? So he wrote down that he wanted to go to Africa because he wanted to see the African penguins. So I kept notes on all this stuff. So a year later, he comes over to America. And I'm like, I know they have penguins at the zoo. I wonder what kind of penguins they are. And it is the largest display of African penguins in this hemisphere, literally, that is 3.4 miles from my house. I didn't tell him. I went and I bought the penguin special
encounter.
I knew you'd know the word. And my wife and he mingled with the penguins. Grace, which is a great name for a penguin, and Hope. So there you go.
Go, excellent.
So I love me some zoo. So there
good,
you have.
Good.
So tell them about the zoo and why they should come to the Maryland Zoo at Baltimore.
Sure. Well, first of all, for the people who are in the city and county, and I know Johnny O, and you were behind some recent contributions to the zoo. Thank you
Kevin
very much.
Kevin Kamenitz loved the zoo.
And his wife's on the board still.
Oh, Jill, they loved the zoo.
Good. But thank you, Baltimore County.
I went to brew with the zoo last year with my son.
Good.
We drank a lot.
It's coming up again. Yeah. You can drink again. It is such a special place, and people like me would go there when your kids are young, and then you stop going. And my daughter, thankfully, when she was about 16, applied to be a volunteer. And it was a rigorous process, but she put in about 300 hours of volunteering at the zoo. And every day I'd pick her up or drop her off. I kept on thinking more and more about her experiences. She would tell me about this. And I was thinking,
what was she doing? Reptile house and hanging out?
Everything. She was showing people elephant poop, you know?
All those things.
But I got to see it through her eyes and rediscover it. And I thought, what an amazing place. And also, after being at the Downtown Partnership for 15-plus years, I thought, you know what? It's time for me to check out something new. And so I thought, where can my skill sets apply? I know nothing about animal care, but I'm learning about it. But the other parts,
I'll give you a little tip, okay? And this is just for me. My wife watches Animal Planet. We love our cat, right? Mm-hmm. We watch Animal Planet all the time. And my wife now, no kidding, 2 weeks ago, I said, hey, how's your sister? All good. We're thinking about doing a trip together. And I'm like, oh, are we going to go to the beach? You're going to go to Vegas, Nashville? You've been talking. Her sister's had cancer last week. I said, what are you going to do? Well, my sister really wants to go to the Cincinnati Zoo because she watches the show. It's a special animal. There's a special animal at the Cincinnati Zoo that was born there that she wants to go visit this animal. My wife has watched the Bronx Zoo thing. Obviously, I've had Joan Embry on the show and the San Diego Zoo and the pandas in D.C. But the magic. Oh, and the other thing would be Steve Irwin. I've been to the Australia Zoo outside of Brisbane. Love. Oh, yeah. My wife.
We travel.
So we've been to Australia Zoo, which we love because of the koalas and whatnot. Yeah. But the television shows have shown what it takes to keep an alligator alive at a zoo and what it takes to keep pandas happy and keep and birthing animals and sick animals and veterinarian care. It's unbelievable, and I've fallen in love with that part of the educational part of it.
I wish more people could see that. The keepers, the curators, they care so much about these animals. They will sleep with animals when they are sick.
Sure.
Overnight, they'll stay with them just to make sure they're okay.
Same way I feel about my cat.
So passionate. That is on the side of the zoo that I wish more people would understand. And Don Hutchinson, who's been running the zoo since 2007, he and the board, but mostly Don, he saved the zoo. It was at a point where it could have gone definitely in a very bad direction.
Don is a force of nature.
He is, absolutely. As all Dons are. Right?
Another former Don.
I was privileged to walk in his footsteps.
Great. And I'll be as well. So he stabilized the zoo. He expanded enclosures. He brought in more animals. He did such a fantastic job. So my job now is just to keep on building on what he did and the board, attract more people. But also, you got to find ways to create more reasons to come and appeal to parents.
I love Zoomerang, by the way. Zoomerang. I went every year.
Good.
I still have animal print bow ties.
And touch. Really?
Come on, Kirby, man. I'm a Baltimore guy.
Talk about the zoo. This is, again, interesting. Who comes? I mean, I'm sure you've looked at information. Knowing you certainly prepared when you went out to talk to them about running. Who goes to the zoo, and what kind of attendance do they get? What kind of a resource is it here in our community?
Sure. Well, with apologies to the current zoo team, because I'm going to get the numbers wrong, mm-hmm. but I recall Don Hutchinson telling me they went from about 300,000 visitors to 460,000, which is a great jump. I'm probably getting that wrong, but the most important thing, it was a big jump.
Right, several hundred thousand.
Yeah, several hundred thousand. The membership has gone up as well over the years. You got to keep on going out there and reminding people what the asset is. Imagine every employer should be a member of the zoo, because you get passes to the zoo for your employees. That is, we have those. It's the number one perk.
I always forget
employees.
How nice the zoo is to, like, go. I'm thinking about it now, like, walking in and the reptile house and driving up. And, yeah, every time I go, we say, why don't we go more often?
Sure.
We really do.
And it's another Baltimore positive story,
that's right.
Kirby.
And it's also...
never a bad day at the zoo with your family.
Right, exactly. It's a rare environment, too. Not many zoos are so bucolic. There's so many trees. It is so quiet there when you're just by yourself.
You're going to like working there.
I'm already excited about it. Oh, it's not a reaction against what I'm currently doing. But
it's going to be quiet.
Quiet. But hopefully, when people are there, like Hopkins had a day just for their employees there, it was overwhelmed with people, and it was so exciting to see that. So my job is just to keep on adding to it, come up with new ways to attract. There might be some new amenities we need to add, but one thing I learned is, like, don't announce any ideas before you review them with your board or staff, and so I haven't started there yet, so I'm going to hold on.
You know what that reminds me of? It's funny. We say never a straight line. Dick Cass, and we can tell it because he told it publicly we had him on Baltimore Positive. Jerry Jones, Dick was representing Jerry Jones in the purchase of the Dallas Cowboys. Uh-huh. And Dick, they don't have anything signed yet. It's an agreement in principle. They haven't signed on the dotted line. And Dick's in bed getting ready to go to sleep with his wife. They're watching the news, and the headline comes up, Tom Landry fired by Jerry Jones. And Dick jumps in and he goes, fired by Jerry Jones? We don't own the team yet. and he said it led to the NFL. It led to the NFL putting in a rule that you can't fire anyone until you actually own the team.
I don't want any new rules at the zoo because
I'm not going to start any rules that are moving the penguins. Yeah, right.
No.
I'm not doing that.
One of my favorite stories in the past year.
Kirby Fowler here for the Downtown Partnership and soon to be the Maryland Zoo in Baltimore, at Baltimore, I should say.
Well, wonderful stuff. Let's jump back before we let you go, and we're excited. We'll be back with you when you're at the zoo to talk about all the great things, and we'll be out there telling some great stories. What just some things you've highlighted in the previous episodes that I want to leave people with, because I think they're important. And as we speak, here comes the grand dame of Fadley's, the one and only Miss Nancy.
She's here.
She's in the house.
I've already had my crab cake.
We're going to have her on shortly, talking about all the great news. You were proud of the rebuilding the residential community in this 1 mile radius. What role did you play in that? And
sure.
What did downtown
people like to walk
show?
To work? I know that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. We did a study nationwide, and we had one of the strongest ratios of people living and working in a downtown area. It's just people love to walk to work around here, which is
good. We have a small downtown compared to other downtowns. We're all walking.
That's right.
You can live in downtown Boston and not be able to walk to work.
And it's
right?
not like, it's literally. Not downtown Phoenix, which is like 12 miles long.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
But it. it could have gone a different direction. There's so many challenges over the years. The Great Recession, the Freddie Gray unrest, the political instability, new communities like popping up and being very competitive. But we've been able to stabilize and grow the area that's basically from your home up to Center Street. So basically Pratt Street up to Center Street from President Street to Paca. That is where we spend most of our time and dollars. And that area has grown by 300% in terms of residents over the past 20 years. There's now 8,000 residents now.
See, I like to think that that would stimulate the restaurants. Like, I always use Reggie's as an example, right? Like, and I ran into Alan recently, and actually I ran into him at State Fair recently because he likes good food over Catonsville. And, you know, they just opened the Boaz. It's a new place. Good to see you.
We are being joined by Nancy DeVine.
She doesn't have a headset on.
No, we're going to get to her. We're going to get to her when we're done here. We're going to make a special announcement today. And you're going to be front and center.
Yeah, we're going to make a special announcement. We're going to do it.
Wonderful.
We're too early.
It's not.
You're going to love it.
You're going to be front and center of it.
Absolutely. But local people like Nancy and businesses in the downtown community, I see a restaurant. I see P.F. Chang's go out, right? I see things happen and say, well, what's going to go in there? What's going to be the next thing? And how is that going to survive?
Sure. When
you just built a ramen place in the building. The next thing. I mean, we love it. And every time I go in there, there are people in there. They're eating there. And I say, good. Because the ramen's good. And I want to be in here this time next year eating it.
The reason why I love your message is because people don't understand nationwide, most restaurants, 70% of restaurants don't even last 1 year. Nationwide.
Great stuff.
That's where Robert Irvine comes in.
Yeah. So there's a lot of, I go back to New York where I grew up and spent a lot of time, and I can't find the restaurants I used to go to, except for a handful.
Well, thankfully for me, I still go over and find Pizza John's in Essex. I find the childhood places that are still here.
You gotta support them.
That's about being local, not letting Walmart take over your town.
And if one restaurant closes, the other one opens up. If you look deeper into downtown, deeper north, you got Alexander Brown Restaurant, a great new restaurant.
Could be there Wednesday night.
Good, excellent. It's wonderful. Chez Hugo, the B&O.
I was just there.
Yeah, the B&O. R&R Taqueria, those all open. And La Calle, those all open within the last, well, not the B&O, but the others
R&R,
open within the last
man,
year or so.
I love Chef.
That's where I'm going to. That's where I'm going to lunch right after this.
Tell him to take you for a ride on his airplane.
So, Kirby, are you bullish?
Pilot.
Okay. You're leaving the downtown partnership. You have to be proud of what you accomplished. Are you bullish that we can turn the corner? I mean, obviously, a lot of it's going to depend on the next mayor. As Barbara Mikulski said, don't wait for Superman or Superwoman.
Yeah.
We have to be a part of it. But are you bullish that Baltimore can become this great turnaround story?
It can. I shouldn't pause that much, but it can. The private sector with public sector help has led to, and the public sector help I'm talking about for downtown has been just some tax credits. It's not handouts. So these are, the city's giving up future tax dollars. They're not giving out current money. And that's what people don't understand. But the city has sometimes made it easier for private sector to come in. And that's throughout the entire city, but also in downtown. So
well, We have to make it attractive because Don's buddy Johnny O's up in Baltimore County saying, come on up to Hunt Valley.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we're all in competition.
Plus,
you've
got to convert historic buildings. And that's a very expensive thing to do. But we've been able to do that, and it's been downtown partnership has pushed most of the buildings that have been renovated. We've been tied to it. We've found new developers. We helped them get through the whole design process. We helped promote them when they opened. That's the kind of thing the private sector can continue to do. The city has to keep on at least providing some tax incentives throughout the entire city, not just in downtown, to keep it going. So I think there's so much energy and there's so many people who care that I think it's going to continue to improve, but it's going to be at snail's pace or turtle's pace, as I said before. That's where a mayor can come in. It doesn't have to be moving.
Well, that's how it happens quickly. That's either going to accelerate this or it's going to set us back.
Yeah. It seems to me that, Kirby, that why, and I want to talk about parks and the homeless initiatives and other things before you get out of here, and I appreciate your time, but it seems to me that one of the things that's been lost over the past 15 years or so is this concept of mayor as cheerleader, as city booster, as using that bully pulpit.
The head coach.
To lead the head coach.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Am I accurate on that?
Well, they try. They try. And you probably run into this too. Some people, when you talk about positive news, they think you're being Pollyannish, and you don't get it. You're being naive.
We plead guilty.
You're getting naive.
You know,
you're naive.
I like Nellie Forbush. You know, I'm a cockeyed optimist.
Good.
You know,
but people
go.
Think, oh, you're naive, or you're ignoring something. The fact is, you could be positive or negative about factual stuff. And so we are positive about the factual things happening, just like you are. But a mayor can do that. But I just say social media can beat you down when you get out there and start saying good things. It's like, you're ignoring this issue. And so
the
you
next
just
mayor has to ignore that.
Yeah, you have to wake up every morning and say, you know, I'm going to do it again.
You look good. You look beautiful, sweetie. There you go.
So you got to keep on. You got to keep on going. Waking up every morning and think, I've got to promote this town every single morning. And if you can't do that, then you shouldn't be mayor. But the best ones have woken up every morning and say, I'm going to be positive and I'm going to try to make a difference.
Yeah, I mean that comes through loud and clear to me. One of the things near and dear to Nestor's heart, I've heard him talk nonstop about it. You guys have hit a sweet spot for him, and that's your effort to focus on the parks, one of Baltimore's assets. Talk to us about what Downtown Partnership has done in terms of parks to make Nestor and his wife's life better as they walk around through the city.
Well, we're probably most proud of that. We were able to raise probably $24 million from private and public sectors to convert Pratt Street, transform Pratt Street. It used to be basically just a highway median, and now we've been able to do build-outs of restaurants and Shake Shack and other things, and now it's a much more walkable Pratt Street, and that was a 10-year effort of ours to go, and it's going to keep on going.
And I don't need to say, why'd you focus on Pratt Street? It's the middle, dummy, right? I mean, literally, we fix that, then we can work our way out.
If you can't get businesses to go there, then they won't go anywhere, so you got to make sure they're happy there, and they are. And they're happy deeper in, too, further north. But going beyond Pratt Street, Center Plaza, which is sort of tucked away, but that was our first park project that we worked on, $7 million with private public dollars. Hopkins Plaza was transformed. Preston Gardens was the most recent one, $7 million. That's right near Mercy Hospital. And now where it used to be a parking lane, it's a park. It's a park. And that's where people are walking their dogs at night. So people who are not familiar with downtown, if they came around 6:30 at night, they'll see people walking their dogs.
Well, the lighting around Mercy's beautiful, too. When you come through and you guys turn it into a disco. I'm a big Light City guy.
Oh, good.
There's no bigger Light City guy than me. He'll tell you that.
Do you dress up?
Not as a light, no, okay, but I do go out and take pictures.
Okay, thank you.
I did find the whole thing, and Rodericks would have appreciated this if he's still around.
No, Dan had to go back to work.
They had a lit-up Arabber. It was an Arab Light City display where every strawberry, every lime, every lemon was a light. And I took a picture with a Light City Arabber, and I thought, that's Baltimore, baby.
That's cool.
That's Baltimore as is. And a tough issue as we begin to wind down here. Nestor's talked in a number of issues, Kirby, that for, 15 years you've had the same
person? I've lived downtown 17 years. He was not there this morning, which, because it's raining.
Yeah.
I've had the same homeless man on the corner of Conway and Charles. Everyone
at
in the city knows the guy.
At the bus stop?
On the other side.
Oh, that's okay.
No, on the west side.
Okay.
Although he doesn't live at the west. He maybe sleeps at the bus stop, but he panhandles the other side. And I've seen the Squeegee Boys come in, and him and the Squeegee Boys. This man has lived there for 17 years. He's indignant. He's always there. And I almost just want to ask his name and get his story just as a citizen, because I wrote an op-ed 15 years ago about homelessness and it being different than panhandling. You know, homeless or panhandling.
Absolutely.
I always saw him as a panhandler. Now I see him as homeless. I don't know the difference, but I do know, like, why is that man still living for 17 years on the corner of my condo that I can't sell? Maybe that's part of that, but I'm wondering how our society allows a man for 17 years.
So let's hear what role downtown, and as we do that, as we look around, look at the lines backing up over here, guys. Yeah. This is Baltimore positive. Behind us, in front of us, they're lined up.
And it's a rainy day.
It's a rainy day, and they're lined up waiting to get crab cakes.
A lot of
great stuff here. Kirby, you guys focused on business, focused on residential, focused on filling the offices, but you also didn't lose sight of the homeless. What role did you guys play in that?
Again, we had to fill gaps sometimes, and so now we have three full-time homeless outreach directors. We didn't have that 10 years ago, but we felt like we needed to address
it. What does that mean?
So they are out every morning.
They go meet that man on the corner.
They do. They get his name and they try to get him a license. But here, I just want to get to the complexity of all of it. So, there was a shameful thing in our history where people with mental illness were just shoved away with almost no due process into hospitals. And thankfully, those hospitals shut down. But there's no alternative, except for people to be on the streets in a lot of cases. And so we've gone, the pendulum has swung the opposite direction, where you can almost do nothing to help people in the street unless they want the help. And so we've come, in certain cases, we've had great successes. I think of one guy who was living at a Courthouse Plaza for several years, and we had to approach him 30-40 times.
So the answer is you really can't do it. There's only so much you can do.
You got to keep on trying.
Talk about this guy you approached at Courthouse Plaza.
Approached him 30, 40, 50 times, and he would say no every time we offered services. And finally, we got him. The other day, he said, I'm ready. Okay. I'm ready. And we found him. We even paid for housing for him. And we've done that for other people as well. But you had to get him to the right point. There's other times
now,
where
people... Now, where was he 4 weeks later, 6 weeks later?
He would take a bus downtown, and he'd clean windows.
I often think, if that man just had a shower and a place to go, and clean up trash, anything... Yep. That he's not incapable. I've watched him for 17 years.
It's the I don't know if he has mental illness, but it's the untreated side of that that prevents some people from getting jobs. But the person has to be ready. If they're a harm to themselves or others, then the city can act and get them into hospitalization. But they're only in for 2 weeks and they're back out. So almost, if a person doesn't want to do anything about their situation and they're peaceful, there's not much you can do about it. And, you know, it's a shame when there's cold weather hits. We've lost some people. People have died on their streets. But it also motivates people sometimes, too, to get into housing. That's why, I mean, homelessness has gone up in every city throughout the country, especially those warm cities. It's out of control.
I was in Miami. I've been in L.A. I've been in Phoenix.
San Francisco.
San Francisco's a whole other world. Yeah.
And it's throughout the country.
I think it's bad because I see it on my one corner, but it's not an endemic downtown. Not in the way it is in other places.
Sure.
I mean, anybody that spent time in Baltimore say homelessness is a huge problem here, they haven't been to a place where it's a huge problem.
That's right.
They really haven't.
That's where our federal government can step in, because there aren't enough affordable housing units throughout the country.
It's so a got housing that, crisis right. all over the nation.
So you got mental illness and a shortage of housing together. And you know, the laws are appropriate. If someone... listen, you want people in housing, but if they're not doing anything technically illegal, you just can't put handcuffs on them and throw them into a cop car. So it's very, but you have to keep on approaching. So in your case, I would definitely go and get his name and try to talk to him and try to connect with him. We've actually connected people to families, and we paid for their bus tickets to go back and connect with their families. We're not just giving bus tickets to get people out. We connect them with families, so there's somebody at the other end. We've traveled with them to get to their families on the other end.
This is a work downtown partnership's doing.
That's what we do.
Well,
we
you know.
I'm glad you've come here and told me that because I've seen you around town for 20 years. I don't know who to call, right? I'm a concerned resident. I don't want to see the man dead there on the corner. If he disappears tomorrow, I honestly will wonder the rest of my life what happened to him because he's been there for 16 years.
And you know, it's interesting, Nestor, as we wrap up here and we let Kirby get on with his day, people will sometimes say to us, you guys are too tough on the president, right? And we don't talk about the president very often. But I think this week he released a budget. And again, the significant cuts in that budget were for the most vulnerable among us in the social safety net. And when I hear Kirby talk about these issues, I always come back to that. I think at some point there will be a push for decency, and people
compassion.
Will say, we have to take care of those less fortunate. Kirby, real
we
quick, you're going
to
walk away. You've had an incredible 16-year tenure at Downtown Partnership. You're going to sit down one day. Your successor is going to be sitting across the table from you. You're going to have cups of coffee. What do you tell them? What do you leave them with? Him or her?
I'll tell them we've made so much progress over the last 15 years. The challenges now are fighting for resources from the city. We don't have, and we're not about locking people up, but there are just not enough officers on the streets. There are certain times that there's only two police officers in the whole of downtown, and that doesn't even cover like a full shift. So you have to have police presence, but also the capital investment. You have to keep on fighting for that and fighting other... Unfortunately, you got to compete against other communities for that. So you got to keep fighting for the sheriff, because everybody thinks we get everything, but most of that is thanks to the private sector doing the work or bringing it in. If people knew that Downtown Partnership emptied all the cans, the people who knew Downtown Partnership took care of the park spaces. The city doesn't do that. You know, we don't get the kind of city services we need, and we got to keep on pushing for that. Mayor Young recently helped with more police officers, so credit to him for that.
What's your focus? I was going to let you go real quick, but I need another minute or two. What do you hear from your members about the crime issue? What do they want from a mayor? What do they want from city government?
I think most understand the complexity of it. They realize that any conversation about Baltimore stops the minute people mentioned the number of homicides. And so even though we don't have, thankfully, many homicides at all downtown, it's rare if they ever do occur. We have other things, but we don't have that. But we can't draw people's attention to the city with
not when you have the number 347.
I give presentations, and the minute someone says, "Well, didn't you have 340 homicides last year?"
Kirby,
it just takes the air out of
Kirby. Kirby, business to Cleveland.
Kirby,
yeah.
Kirby, we hear. We heard. We were with the Hospital Association about a month ago down in Annapolis. We hear they have a real workforce development issue when they go to get docs and nurses from other cities. They'll sit down, it'll be appealing to come to Hopkins, but they sit down with a spouse or a loved one and they go, Baltimore. So that's why it's about Baltimore. We got to get it turned around.
Well, that's
right?
True, yeah, for the colleges. I mean, then we talked to Freeman Rabowski about that.
Right. We got to get it turned around.
It's up to us. It's up to us.
There's that. So the reality of fighting crime, but then also getting the positive messages out, because they don't get out enough. And there are so many good things happening every single day, and people need to celebrate it, because if we're ambassadors to the world, then we'll be able to draw more people to live with us and enjoy the city with us.
Wait, what a place to stop. Kirby Fowler,
thank you.
Check him out
thank
at
you.
The zoo. Thank you for all your work, the Downtown Partnership. Nestor, where are we're wrapping up?
We're at Lexington Market. I'm looking up at Baltimore's best crab cake, as voted in Baltimore Magazine 1989, 90, 91, 92. I'm just going to go through.
Every year.
We were going to have a cameo but from Dan Rogers, but he was here.
He had to run. He had to go back to work.
Go follow him on the internet. Appreciate Kirby. Don Moeller, you can find us out at Baltimore Positive. More things ahead. We'll be at Jennings. We'll be at State Fair. We'll be back here at Fadley's as we prepare for April 28th. Get out, register to vote, early vote on April 16th, and participate. Democracy is not a spectator sport. He's Don. He's Kirby. I'm Nestor. We are WNST.net, AM 1570, and WNST Baltimore Positive, signing off from legendary, world-famous Lexington Market and Fadley's.